Well, let's open our Bibles. If you're visiting with us, we do this just about every service. It's a good scripture to read, John 3:16. And let's read it out loud together. Verses 16, 17, and 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Why was he condemned? Because he hath not believed in what? The name of the only begotten Son of God. It's the name that we believe in and confess to. Hallelujah. So we're continuing in this series of lessons on the name of Jesus. And today we've entitled this message, Reigning by the Name. I like that. Reigning in life by the name of Jesus. And I've been reading this scripture just about every time we gather around these lessons. I'll read it. You can turn there if you'd like, Ephesians chapter 1 and starting in verse 17. It says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And I'm going to add this in here because it's okay to do here. And you may know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Hallelujah. That name is eternal. And hath put all things under his feet. Say all things.
All things,
all things are under his feet. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Hallelujah. So he's put all things under his feet. He gave him to be the head over all things to us, his church, his body. Hallelujah. And I referenced in the past lesson that based on that, that he's given us his name, he's given us authority here in the church, we've been given, in a worldly sense, a worldly term, we've been given the power of attorney. And that term, for those that may not be familiar, if you never had to do that in the natural, it means to be given authority to act in another person's behalf at their request. So at someone's request, you're operating in their behalf. That's what Jesus has done. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's given us the right to use his name. Well, we can see that in Matthew 28 and Mark 16 also. He's told us to go into all the world and make disciples of all men, baptizing them in what? In the name. Hallelujah. So we can see, and I'm going to read this. This is John chapter 14. In verse 14, it says, well, let me read it here. Verily, verily, this is verse 12. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask. That sounds like anything, right? We've been hearing that word, anything. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we've been given dominion and authority here. We've been delivered out of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, in John, I'm just make reference to this. When Jesus said, because he was speaking in John 14, he said, whatever you shall ask. That word ask, you can look it up for yourself in the Strong's Concordance. And you can find these online if you don't have a hard copy or paper copy of the Strong's Concordance. But if you look up that scripture verse and just look up the word ask, it shares the literal rendering means to demand something due. So we're not demanding of God to do something, it's due us. We're demanding something that's due to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said here, another person who was a Greek scholar said that the Greek literally says, whatever you shall demand as your rights and privileges, that shall I do. And you can see that over in, I believe it's 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. It says, all the promises of God are yea or yes. Jesus has stamped a yes on it. They're yes and amen. So we're not demanding anything but our rights and privileges. And Jesus has said yes. Amen. Now, the last lesson, last Sunday, I referenced some scriptures that I'm going to carry over to today's lesson. But let's turn to John 15. And start here today, John chapter 15, talking about the vine. And starting in verse 5, it says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And then verse 6, if a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. We have to ask. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that what? You bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So, first thing is, he's desiring that we bear much fruit here in this earth as his disciples. I'm going to read another verse here. This is Romans 5, verse 17. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more, say much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall, doesn't say maybe, it says shall, reign in life by one Jesus Christ. And the Amplified, it says, for if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace and the free gift of righteousness, putting them in right standing with himself, like this, reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. We are to bear fruit and we are to reign as kings in life. We're to reign, not be subjected to all of the issues of this world, the flesh, and the devil. We are to reign over circumstances. We're to reign over disease. We are to reign over sickness. We are to reign over sin and hatred and anything that is of the devil. It is not to dominate us. The name of Jesus belongs to us. Why? Because we're in Christ. Now let's turn over to Colossians for a moment. Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to spend a moment here. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. And we'll read through verse 13, 9 through 13. Colossians chapter 1. It says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. See, now, this looks to me a lot like Ephesians chapter 1, right here. And it says here, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in what? In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Sounds like Ephesians chapter 1. That you what? Might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being what? Fruitful in every good work. We're to be fruitful. And increasing in the knowledge of God. That's why when Paul was praying in the book of Ephesians, he said that he prayed that they would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, so that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, so that they would know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in them. And you can see here, what does it say in verse 11? It says, strengthened with all might. See, that's like when Ephesians, that we would know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. Similar. According to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. That word, it's not food. I know you all thinking about food. It's 12 o'clock. No, this is meat, M-E-E-T. That's not pork chops or chicken. This here is able. That's what that word meat means. That he's made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13, who hath? Hath is what? Past tense. That means it's already a done deal, isn't it? You don't have to ask God, help me. He's saying, help yourself. Use my name. I'm going to play with this. This mic is coming down here, so just mute that a second. Thank you.
Okay. All right, thank you. So we can see here in verse 13, it says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. The Amplified says, the Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. The easy to read version says, God made us free from the power of darkness and he brought us into the kingdom of his dear son. We've been delivered. We've been set free. But there's some, there's conditions. But I must say this, you've got to do something. You've got to receive what the word says. And do what? What do you have to do? Thank you. Who said act on it? He's a good Bible student right there. You all are too slow. You need to receive it and then do something with it. Let me see. First one down here, I'll give $1,000. Let me think about that. Yeah, see? Right? That's good. See? See? She acted on it. She didn't think about it. The rest of you just... You weren't sure whether I was for real or not. Is he for real? So verse 13 in Colossians... Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? This right here begins to describe and tells us about our inheritance in Christ. We've been delivered. If you go down and begin to look at verse 13, it says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son? Semicolon. The thought continues. In whom we have, these are inheritances, promises here. In whom we have, what? Redemption. What? Through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. You can go down and continue reading. You can see all of the inheritance promises that we have. So we've been delivered from the power or authority or darkness or Satan's authority. We've been delivered from it. He has delivered us from demons, sickness, disease, poverty. God has delivered us from everything that belongs to Satan. We've been delivered from it. It has no control over you. And I'm going to say it this way, unless you give it control. It has no control over you unless you give it control. And I'll tell you where the control starts, right up here. Starts in your mind. Thoughts come. And instead of you casting it down and saying, oh no, I've been redeemed. I've been delivered from that. I heard a minister of the gospel say this. A person said, came to him and said, can you help me? He said, sure. And he said, well, I smoke. He said, I can help you. He said, the name of Jesus. And he began to tell this person, he said, yeah, but I still smoke. He said, doesn't matter. He said, take this scripture here, who hath delivered me from darkness. So every time, he said, every time you take a puff on that cigarette, say, I've been delivered. Yes, yeah, but I'll still be smoking. He said, it's all right. You keep saying with your mouth what the word says, and at some point, the desire will leave. And he said to this man, he said, will you do what I tell you to do? He said, yes. And he said, you mean even while I'm smoking? He said, yeah. He said, you keep saying what that scripture says. I've been delivered from cigarettes. Well, whatever it is. And you keep saying it. And he said, that person did. And he said, there was one day he was just walking on the street, went to light it up, and he went, oh, I can't do that anymore. Amen. The desire left. The word became a reality to him. But we've got to do what? We've got to say it. We can't just think it. We've got to say it with our mouths. Let me read this scripture here. 1 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to do what? Confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. This is the complete Jewish Bible. I like this. But God chose what the world considers nonsense in order to shame the wise. God chose what the world considers weak in order to shame the strong. You know, the world considers the name of Jesus nonsense. And if you go in any kind of setting, they use it as a curse word. So they consider it to just be nonsense. But I'll tell you, that name is above every name. And when you use that name, demons have to bow. And circumstances have to change. The New Living Translation said, instead, God deliberately chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Colossians 3, verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. The Amplified says, whatever you do, no matter what it is in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence upon his person, giving praise to God the Father through him. So whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. What does it say? Whatever we do in what? Word or deed. I'm going to show you something here in the Word in a second. Now I'm going to reference some things here now from this little mini booklet, How to Write Your Own Ticket with God. And there are four points. If some of you had the book, you'll remember it. I might be repeating some things here. It's good to repeat this. This was in a vision, a spiritual vision that Brother Hagin had. Jesus appeared to him. He was sharing some things with him. And Jesus was, he recounts this story in this little mini book. And he said, Jesus started to leave the room where he was. And Brother Hagin said, can I ask you a question? I liked his honesty and his forthright with Jesus. Jesus is getting ready to leave the room, and he said, "Master, can I ask you a question?" He said, "Sure." He said, "I have this one message that I teach on the name of Jesus everywhere I go." And he said, it seems like the Spirit of God wants to give me more out of this lesson, and I sense the Spirit of God is wanting to give me something, but I'm just not receiving it." And Jesus said, "That's true. He is trying to get it to you, and you're not getting it." He said, "But I'm going to give it to you right now." And he said to him, "Get a piece of paper and write these four steps down." And he said, "If anyone anywhere will follow these four steps, they will receive whatever they ask for." That's pretty good, isn't it? From the Lord Jesus. He said, "If anyone anywhere will follow these four steps, they will receive whatever they ask for." I thought, well, that's pretty good. Step one. And he said, these are simple. Step one, say it. That's it, say it. Now let me ask a question. See, because you can find these principles, and we're going to look at one that you all know of, but we just got done reading Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in what?
Word.
Say it.
Word and deed.
And deed. Step two is do it. That's from Jesus. Step one, say it. Step two, do it. Whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So he said, whatever you do, say it. That's step one. And Brother Hagin references Mark 5:27. He said that's what he shared in his lesson that he would share. And of course, you're familiar, woman with the issue of blood, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, touched his garments. For she said, first step, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. So she said it. Step two, do it. It's not enough just to say it. You've got to act upon what you say. These are the simple steps. Step three, you have to receive it. And step four, tell it. Seems simple. And so Brother Hagin, in this vision, said, "Lord, I know it's you, and I know you're giving me this," he said, "but you're going to have to show me in the Word of God. Because the Word of God will support what is being shared in a vision or prophetically. If you're getting something prophetic and you can't support it in the Word, you may want to sit on it." And so the Lord smiled at him. That's what he said in the book. The Lord smiled at him and said, "Okay, I'll show you." Let's all go to 1 Samuel. And this was what Jesus said to him. He said, "You know the story, you know it well." He said about David and Goliath. He said, there's four principles. Those four steps are right in this story. And I think it's appropriate talking about the name of Jesus. 1 Samuel, chapter 17. And starting the story, we'll go down further in the story, starting in verse 32. Chapter 17, 1 Samuel, starting in verse 32. And David said, he had to say it. He said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth and a man of war from his youth." And David said,
Second time. Unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And David said, it's the third time, he's saying it, isn't he? Moreover, the Lord hath that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. He's given honor to God. He delivered him. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. For he had not proved it. He had not what? He hadn't proved it. See, it's not good enough to just talk about the name of Jesus. You've got to prove the name. You've got to use it. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? That just means sticks. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. What did David do? He said something. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name, in the what? In the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. See, he wasn't taking this personal. No, he said, you've come up against my God. And I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hands, and I will smite thee. Is he saying something? He's talking here now. He's saying something. And take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Not I'm big and bad, this little ruddy guy. No, he's saying that all will know there is a God in Israel. See, when you get tired enough, you need to rise up and say no, that they'll all know that there is a God in Rockland County. Or New Jersey or New York City, wherever you are. Hallelujah. Verse 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. See, they're not depending upon their own might. And he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He did what? He did something. This is step 2 to Jesus said. You say it, And then you do what? You do it. And David put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. And then, of course, you see here, he took the sword, the Philistine sword, cut his head off, and did just exactly what he said. The Lord delivered him into his hand, and he took his head off and fed his carcass to the fowls of the air. Hallelujah. We need to not sink I'll say it this way, don't measure yourself by the giant. Measure the giant by God. Don't measure the giant. Don't measure yourself by the giant. Measure the giant by God. Jesus said this to Brother Hagin in this vision. Israel is a type of the people of God. This is what Jesus said to him in this vision. Israel is a type of the people of God. Goliath can be any giant that might be in your life. A type of the devil, demons, the world, the flesh, sickness, or anything else that stands between God's people and victory. Every child of God can write a ticket of victory. That's what Jesus said. There may be a giant standing between God and victory, you and victory. You need to rise up in the name of Jesus. You have been delivered from the power of darkness. He's been stripped and spoiled of his weapons. Hallelujah. So you can see here, David said something five times before he acted upon it. David did not look at the situation from the standpoint of how big I am or what I can do from a natural standpoint. He looked at it from the standpoint of my God can do it. 1 John 4:4, you have God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in me or in you than he that is in the world. He's greater than any enemy we face. And that's why we need to have the reality of this. You need to say it, do it, receive it, and tell it. And you can see in this story, even in 1 Samuel, in chapter 18 and verse 6, it says, and it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. They were telling it. They were telling it. So as we go through, embrace those simple steps. Say it. Say what your promise, what the promises of God are. Use the name of Jesus. Say the name. What did Peter and John say? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In what? The name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. As you're going about your day, do it in the name of Jesus. You run up against obstacles, use the name of Jesus. Say it. The more you do, the more it becomes a part of you. You won't feel hindered or restricted. Use the name of Jesus. I challenge you to do it. The Lord, I'll tell you, put it on my heart, because I wasn't thinking about this. And it was very early this morning. 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, this came to me. And I said, all right, thank you. I didn't even think about this. Talking about using the name of Jesus. But we need to say it. And once we say it, we need to move in that direction. Not, I'm not sure if this is going to work or not. No, it's going to work. Yes, yes, the name yes. of Jesus is going to work.
Yes.
And I'll say it this way, if there's demonic influence, the name of Jesus will work. If there's flesh involved, that's a different story. If people are involved and acting in the flesh, you using the name of Jesus is not going to override the person's will. You understand that? Call the police. Or boot them out of your house, one or the other. Everybody understand that? Because I can tell you, I've had enough experience in life, a little bit, where I've used the name of Jesus and there's been immediate change. Immediate. But then there's other times you know it's flesh. That's not the time, because you're going to get frustrated using the name and they're just acting cantankerous and fleshy. That's different. And you need to know the difference. Ask God for help in that area. Amen. Glory to God. So what are we going to do as we go through? We're going to say the name. We're going to act on it. That's what David did. He pronounced some things. What did he pronounce? He pronounced that just like God delivered me from the lion and the bear, he gonna do the same thing with this joker right here. And he's gonna deliver him into my hand. So when folks are telling you what they're gonna do to you and what all they're gonna say to you, that's why I'm saying even children today are being subjected to some things. Teach your children to go into the schools and use the name. People want to whoop up on them, use the name. Start going into these classrooms and use the name. Teach them, train them to not be subject to demons and devils. Jesus said this in this booklet. I'm not going to turn there. I have it on this my iPad. But he said, if you don't, he said, I won't. Because he's already given us, he's already delivered us from darkness. He's already given us an inheritance in him. He sees us and loves us as much as Jesus. And he's given us everything that pertains to life and God. There's nothing more he can give us. He's waiting on us to do something. Too quiet today. I'll tell you, when you find yourself up against a wall, how many have found themselves there? Few of you have? Okay. So when you find yourself up against a wall, do what David did. Pull out the name. Use the name of Jesus and see what happens. Glory to God. No more low living. No more subject to issues. You know, when we folks are quick to complain about things. Folks are quick to complain about the government, the president, and all of the things that are going on. What are we supposed to do? First of all, we're to offer up supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks for all men, for kings, and for all those who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the will of God, our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. So the first thing ought to be out there, just be, instead of complaining about our government, start taking authority over the darkness that's operating through people. Take authority over it. I said this last week, and I mean it. Spirits, demon spirits, just like God's army and body, demon spirits are assigned over regions. And they operate through people who let them. Ignorantly or not. They may be doing it and don't even realize they're being operated. They yield to that and let them think through it. They voice what these spirits want to say. Just like we let God speak through us. No different. And this area right here, in this area, there are spirits ranged over this area that need to move. God has a purpose and a plan for this area. And I'll say it this way, if we don't, He not. He's waiting on us, His body, to pray and intercede. So this area, this atmosphere in this area change so that the light of God can shine in. So we need to start using the name in this area more so than ever. And for me, God has a plan. He's raising up not only this ministry, but others to reach people. And there are hurting people in this whole tri-state area that right now, because of this influence, this demon influence in this area, a lot of people, they think the gospel's foolishness. And they don't see a reason to even follow God. But I'll tell you, when that gets moved out of the way, when these spirits get moved out of the way, and God's influence and presence has more, a stronger presence in the area, people all of a sudden flock to churches. That's right. I'm trying to remember the evangelist in the 1800s. Maybe you can help me. He ministered all through the Albany area, upstate New York. Finney, thank you. Charles Finney. And he had a man that prayed and would go into an area 2 or 3 days, 4 days ahead of time. And they said the bars would shut down and people would just flock to the church. See, that's what revival is hinging on, is prayer. And praying that we see change in the atmosphere in these areas, in this area here where we are. We can rise up in the name of Jesus. Command it to change. Because if we don't, it won't change. I tell you, it was the most remarkable thing. I've experienced it on a number of occasions every time I go out to Tulsa. Different atmosphere, different area. You've got
huge ministries that have been out there since the 40s, and 50s, and 60s, and on through, that have been based there. A lot of prayer, a lot of ministries. Atmosphere is different. Anybody who's been out there can attest to it. You leave this area and you go out there, it's clear. And the best way I say it, it's not foggy spiritually. You're not fighting this fog. It's clear. You see clearer. You hear clearer. And my desire is this area is going to be like that. It's going to change in Jesus' name. And the demon spirits that have held sway in this area, they've got to go in the name of Jesus. Because there's people, thousands and thousands of people in this area that need to hear the gospel and want to hear it. There's people hurting, dying from disease and sickness that have no hope, and we have the answer. But they got to want to receive it. And we have it. But the darkness that holds sway will tell people, that's foolishness. That's quackery. But I'll tell you, when the demons and devils are cleared out of the way, people see the truth.
Amen.
Amen. So in the name of Jesus, he will reign in this area. And truth will reign in this area. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you today for these thoughts and these things to stir our hearts, to use the name of Jesus, to be fearless in the use of the name and walking in the authority that you've given us. Not backing down to circumstances and situations. Not yielding to darkness, but standing up to it in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Show us how to operate more effectively in the Spirit. Not trying to figure it out in our minds, but looking to the inside, looking in our spirit for direction. And we thank you, Father. We look to you and yearn for you in the name of Jesus. Amen.